So IRS has always stood for I'm running scared to me. Always nervous about, the IRS coming after you and stuff like that. But I'll tell you this much. The tax laws out there are written for the business owners in America, not for the employees. The challenge is, in our industry, most of us don't have the money or the access, the connections to figure out a really good tax man like a big, huge corporation. They have in-house tax people, and that's their full-time job, decrease our tax liability. Most of us, we're part-time in legal shield. We don't have that money. I was introduced to this gentleman, and I was calling around interviewing tax people, and I wanted to test him. So I said, well, why don't you come to my house? And he made a house call. He came to my house. Like, that's almost unheard of in today's day and age. He came to my house, and we sat down and we talked, and we went through some of the things that I'd been paying taxes on for the last 3 years. And then he just pulled out a notepad and just started asking questions. And literally, in about 10 minutes, he found about $23,000 in deductions that I qualified for that I hadn't asked the IRS for in about 10 minutes. And I was like, holy cow. And then we started talking about creative ways moving forward to decrease my tax liability and to amend the last 3 years for things that I'd overpaid for. And I was like, this is so valuable. I wish everyone in our industry had someone like this, that they had his phone number and his business card, and they did business with him. There's no reason in our industry why you should be paying taxes on the money that you're making as a business owner from home with all the write-offs that are available to you. There's no reason why you should be paying taxes. You should be writing off and being able to qualify for all the write-offs out there. And I've talked to a ton of people. I was not impressed with any of them as much as I was with James, but I'm going to take it one step farther. As we talked in my office, I told him about the legal plan and what we do and everything else like that. He took a bunch of brochures and stuff like that, and he left and went home. And I'd made up my mind at that point, I'm doing business with this guy from now on. This is going to be my tax guy. I'd made that decision in my mind. He gets home, and about an hour or so later, he calls me, and he says, what's this gun owner supplement? And I'm like, we didn't talk about the gun owner supplement. How did he find out about the gun owner supplement? And he's like, what's this home-based business supplement? And I could tell with the questions he was asking me, he was on my website buying a membership. I hadn't signed him up in my office. I was there to interview him. He's now on my website signing himself up for the membership. But then we get to the part about the associate. And he's like, so what's this $99 thing? And I'm like, the difference is you can become a customer and just benefit from that. Or you can pay $99 a once-in-a-lifetime investment. And then anyone you refer this to, you can be compensated for. And he's like, well, that's a no-brainer. Here, I'll just throw that in there too. And so when people go, Dave, how do you recruit people? I'm telling you, I did not recruit him. He recruited himself. A couple days later, he calls me and says, hey, I know of a guy over in Orem. Boom, needs the service. I picked up the phone. I called the guy in Orem, sold him the plan, sent him the money. Bam, all of a sudden, he's recruiting, building a team, selling memberships, and it's not his full-time job. It's a complete side hustle right now. And by the way, those three people that I'm going to be recruiting tonight, I'm placing them all straight down underneath him. That's the team that I'm building in right now. There is a benefit from getting involved in the company and working with somebody that knows how to network, because I'm going to build a huge freaking team over here underneath my tax guy, because I'm going to be calling on some favors later and say, hey, listen, you need to help me bury $1.495 million. One way or the other. So, you guys, I'm so excited to start this year off with good, sound advice from someone that is way more knowledgeable than anybody I've ever talked to about our industry, the home-based business industry. Give it up for Mr. James Christensen!
Wow. I feel like saying, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. So, yeah, the interesting thing is I got a referral to kind of fill in the story with Dave. And I thought, okay, he'd be a really good client. I'll go meet with him. And, yeah, we talked about 10 minutes tax. And actually, we're going to save you $23,000 in taxes. It wasn't deductions. And so he's going to be able to amend prior returns, missed deductions. And I wish I could say that that was the exception, that it makes me sick when people leave money on the table in the IRS. And, but I do free tax reviews for people, and 90% of the returns I look at, people have overpaid taxes, and I've been able to get money back for them. So anyway, so yeah, we did that, and then he started in, and after about 45 seconds, I said, yeah, I'm going to sign up. That was probably the easiest sign up. And the reason why is because in the last 2 years, I've had like four legal issues. Five kids. My wife got a speeding ticket. My son and I ride motorcycles. He got a speeding ticket. Wasn't a good one. 115 and 50. But he wasn't doing it. He was with two other guys. He was in the back, so he was probably doing more like 80. And so I shelled out $700 for an attorney because you can't get a 25-year-old male, can't get 115 and a 50. You know, the tickets was amazing. It was like excessive speed, racing, exhibition of speed, you know, speeding. It's like, you know, they hit you like four times with one thing, and he was going to lose his insurance, and, you know, it would have been horrible. My neighbor put his fence, he wanted to put a fence up. He put it 4 feet on my property. It had a survey, and I'm like, come on, you know, that cost me $1,500 to get, you know, letters, went to an attorney. You know, you open the door, and, like, you're in at least 4 hours, right? They meet, they do the research, they write the letter, they send it on. And then my wife has a couple of rental properties. So she was doing a renovation on one just near in Provo and had a contractor and didn't go great. And he didn't finish the job, and so my wife didn't pay him the last payment. And he's coming back trying to sue her for $2,000. And so she's like, what do we do? And I'm like, well, what can we do? We have to get an attorney, right? And so happens that I just met with Dave, like, you know, maybe 2 weeks after that. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be amazing. I'm like, hey, Dave, can I, like, sign up tomorrow? And then, like, my wife. And he's like, yeah, sure. And so, you know, I called him up. We signed up. Next day, my wife hits the button on it and calls the, you know, gets the attorney, calls her back. You know, a day later, he's got the letter written, sent on to the contractor, and it's like, you know, we haven't heard anything. And so it's for me, it's a no-brainer because, you know, my wife's always like, I wish we had an attorney in the family. We've got so many CPAs in my family. My wife's a CPA. My, you know, sister-in-law's a CPA. But we always wish we had an attorney in the family. Well, this is a pretty cheap way. You know, for $25 a month to get an attorney in the family. And I'd have to correct you. It's really not $25 a month. It's really more like $17 a month. Because I've got my legal shield, you know, go running through my business. So I'm getting tax deduction on it, right? So I get, you know, to deduct the effective tax rate. So if anyone, you know, I don't know. I'm new to the game. I don't know who here, you know, are legal shield associates and who aren't. But, you know, you sign up. You're going to make money. You're going to pay tax on it. And so you can run your legal shield, you know, fees through your business. Yeah. So it's really not $25 a month. You know, whatever your effective tax rate is, that's the discount. So anyway, we'll go ahead and start. So who am I? I'm from Fresno, California. And usually I get the, you know, boo, California. I grew up in California. I've been in Utah about 25 years. I went to BYU. Got my bachelor's and master's degree in accounting. Served a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ in Guayaquil, Ecuador, so I speak Spanish. I'm married with five children, been a CPA for 25 years. I'm currently the head of tax for Vivint Smart Home. So you guys have seen the, you know, the Jazz Center. You know, we've got the name on top. I'm the head of tax there. We're about $1.3 billion in revenue every year. We're in every state. We have like 1.2 million in customers. And the reason why I'm standing here today is because I work for Vivint, and in the 10 years I've been there, I've saved them $70 million. And I got a pat on the head. We're going to talk about corporate America. I got a pat on the head, and the CFO told me that I could take my wife out for a nice dinner. So, you know, and so I was, about 2 years ago, I was talking to a neighbor across the street. He has two 7-Eleven franchises. And he was complaining about his cell phone bill. It was, you know, costing him so much. And I said, yeah, but you're deducting it in your business, right? And he's like, I don't know that I am. He goes, 7-Eleven gives us our financial statements. You know, they all runs through the their point of sale system. And he goes, I don't think I've given my CPA any of, like, those personal expenses. And so I said, well, you know, who's your CPA? Well, he's out of California. I use the same CPA my dad uses. And I said, well, all right, let's talk real fast. I go, so are you deducting, you have a home office deduction? He's like, no, my CPA says home office deductions are kind of risky and get you into risk of an IRS audit. And he says, well, the deduction's not that much anyway. You know, it's really small. And I'm like, no, it's not really small because, you know, yeah, the home office deduction, the maximum for us, if you use the simplified method, is $1,500 a year. So, yeah, it's save you $500. That's not a big deal. But he has two stores, and so his wife goes to one every day, and he goes to one. One in Draper. I live in Saratoga Springs. They've got one in Draper, one in Pleasant Grove. And so they've got all these miles. And because they didn't have a home office deduction, all those miles are considered commuting miles. Those are not deductible. And so, and he's like, yeah, I know, that's what my CPA said, commuting miles aren't deductible. I said, yeah, but if you have a home office home office, now when you leave your home office, you know, your commutes from the bedroom to the office, now when you drive to the store, those are deductible miles. And so, and I'm like, and your wife's, you know, and your cell phone. And we talked about all this other stuff, and we came up with, like, you know, $20,000 of tax savings, not deductions. Like, we saved him 20 grand in his pocket. And but what makes me sick is that he had a CPA that's, you know, billing him whatever out of California, out of the Bay Area. And, you know, this guy doesn't even have the brains to say, hey, you know, I know you're out of Utah, but, you know, you're a 7-Eleven. I've been in a store. I know there's no offices, so you really ought to have, you know, I'm sure you're doing your accounting and, you know, a lot of stuff from your home office. Let's get you a deduction. So to me, that's malpractice. It's sad. And like I said, of all the clients I picked up, 90% I've saved money. Which is sick, but, you know, it's good for me. I've been able to help people out. But so I started with KPMG in Minneapolis, and then I worked at Ernst & Young here in town. Went to work for InvestTools. I don't know if anyone's heard of InvestTools. So I was the tax manager there. Then they got bought out by TD Ameritrade. And another story for George, kind of, you know, he was talking about the corner office. InvestTools used to be, it still is, it's across the street from the prison there on I-15 in Draper. And I used to always kind of go out, you know, I was working, like, you know, 12-hour days, you know, through month-end close. And I remember I'd go out during lunch and just kind of out on the balcony. They had, like, a little patio, and all you hear is just the freeway noise. And I'm just out there just like, oh, man, you know, I hate my job, you know, this sucks, you know, I haven't seen my kids in 4 days, and I'm looking at the prison, and I'm like, I'm looking at everyone walking around, and I'm like, you know, I'm kind of jealous, you know. I'm like, wow, you know, they're out there, like, they're playing softball, and how bad does your job suck, right? You know. So anyway, getting back to where I was going, you know, I helped my neighbor, I helped my other neighbor, I helped another friend. And I'm like realizing, well, I'm saving real people, not just a faceless corporation. I'm saving real people like $2,000, $5,000. And it's like, it was more rewarding to me. So then at that point, I thought, okay, I'm going to start my own firm. I'm going to help people. I'm going to be a tax strategist. And that's kind of why I'm here. That's why, you know, I bumped into Dave, and I'm glad I did. So anyway, my interests are freedom. That's my number one interest. And that's why I'm doing my tax firm. You know, I'm tired of asking permission to, you know, leave early on a Thursday to see my son's, you know, karate tournament or whatever. And so that's why I love, you know, anything that gives you freedom. You know, and I love Legal Shield because of that. I mean, I love Legal Shield, and I've only been in it for like a month or something. But, you know, my wife was like Christmas. She's like, oh, my gosh, I'm calling the attorney right now, you know. It doesn't cost anything. It's free, you know. So I love my family. I like to cook, I like motorcycles, and I like tax strategy. And that's kind of who I am. My favorite bumper sticker, just so you get my humor. Friends help you hide, real friends help you hide bodies. And when I saw that, I thought, okay, that's my favorite bumper sticker. So that's, I have a little bit of a dark sense of humor. So, and I have found out how to save your, that one, is it 1.4, 1.5 million? I found a place for you to bury it. I'm going to put it in my backyard. We're not talking Cayman Islands. We're, this is my son, Michael. Let's see if I can, doesn't have the red. All right. That's my son, Michael. He's 25 years old. He's the one that was speeding on the motorcycle. It's my wife. This is my son, Rulin. He's 5. I call him my honey badger. And this is us in Florida. This is my wife. We're on Saratoga Springs, so we live on the ugly side, but we get to look at the pretty side. This is my son, Rulin. He's throwing the grapple hook. That's what he wanted for his birthday, so we got him a grapple, and he's throwing it there. We were down in St. George. And this is, that's me. That's my son, Michael, and that's Rulin. And we race out at the Larry Miller track, and it's amazing. I love motorcycles. So I didn't show you these pictures just to get to know me. So this was last two Christmases ago, and this was my shareholder. I have an S corp. My wife's in the S corp, and this was my shareholder retreat. So corporations get to have shareholder meetings. Well, guess what? I had one too. Mine was in Florida. And so there's rules to it. And so with deducting things, but what I did is, I made sure I had an agenda. I actually, went through some things with my wife when we were there. We had our shareholder meeting. I deducted mine and my wife's air travel, our flight fees. And then we took 2 nights of the 7 that we were there, and we deducted that as our shareholder retreat. So it was partially deductible. I take friends and new clients out in our Razor. And so they changed the tax laws in 2018 to where you can no longer deduct entertainment. So this is not no longer deductible. But I put this in my 2017. I bought this in 2017. And so my neighbor across the street, would go with him, picked him up as a client. And so I deducted it. You count the trips, and we figured it's about an 80% business asset, so I depreciated 80% of it. So this is when we were in St. George for Thanksgiving, and so my wife does real estate in addition to being a CPA, and we went down for a family reunion. Well, I went down a couple of days early. I met with someone trying to pick him up as a tax client. My wife looked at a property. Our trip, our business miles were deductible. Yes, motorcycles are deductible, right? This is my mode of transportation. When I drive to work or to clients, I've actually picked up 6 clients out at the track, just talking to people, just walking up to them, say, "Hey, do you have your own business? Is your motorcycle deductible?" And they're like, "I'm not deducting it." And I'm like, "Well, I'm deducting mine." So. My wife's like, "Hey, that's going to be a lot for that motorcycle." I'm like, "Wow, we get like a 35% discount." So it's tax deductible. So that's why I'm here today. I like legal strategy. Really appreciate friendship and the things that we've already benefited. Had I known about Legal Shield about a year and a half ago, it would have saved me like, $2,000 in legal fees. So, but just this one that my wife did with the renovation, that's with what it saved us. It's like it covers like 3.5 years of my Legal Shield fees. Just one thing. And so, so you saw my son with the motorcycle, that would have saved me like $800. So I'm here to help everyone convert as many personal expenses into business expenses. That's the key for this group. That's kind of, small business, Legal Shield rep. And so all of us have cell phones. All of us have a home computer. You can only dream to have a Sonata like I have, the pinnacle of all vehicles. I'm a CPA, so it's like I'm never going to spend more for that. I'm too cheap. A lot of us have home offices. If you do Legal Shield, you're going to have a home office. And so these are all personal expenses. Most people have these in their home. Well, guess what? You can deduct them all. And if you're not, you should be, especially if you've got, if you've got a business, you should be putting them in. Family vacations, I already told you, you do one, it's a shareholder retreat. You know, there's ways to, you know, you go and visit someone. You're driving down to, Arizona to Phoenix to visit your sister-in-law or your brother. It's like, hey, you know, I'm gonna pitch Legal Shield to him. So all my miles are gonna be deductible. I mean, you just always need to think, you know, how can I convert this to an expense, business expense? And they might be little, but by the end of the year, it may save you $2,000 or $3,000. So this is a disclosure that just says you can't sue me for anything I say. You can't, like, you know, hey, James said that I could deduct that, and then, you know, you find out later you can't. Well, you can in the right situation, right? It's like everyone's tax footprint here is different, and so it's like, you know, you have to do it the right way. So there was a tax law change a year and a half ago. Has anyone had their CPA help them to, like, see what their tax bill was last year and then what it would have been without the Trump tax law change? Has anyone run the numbers? I can't remember mentioned that the tax code is for, you know, businesses. And so it's really true. What happened is if you're middle class, you really didn't get a tax cut. Really, the tax cut went to the corporations where their tax rate was lowered from 34% down to 21%. And so why did they get the tax cut? Because they're the ones that pay off. They're the ones that contribute to the campaign contributions, right? And so yeah, stimulate business, all this, you know, it has worked. But it's like, well, who are you going to give them to? You're going to give them to, you know, James Christensen, CPA, or, you know, Dave Hall? You know, you're going to give the tax break to them? No, because, you know, they're going to give the tax breaks to the people that pay them the money. It's, you know, follow the money. And so anyway, these are some of the taxes that we have today. Too many taxes. That's why I'm passionate about reducing distractions. I mean, they're everything. You know, you make money, you pay it out everywhere. The gas. You know, oh, and just so you know, if anyone wants a copy of all my slides, at the end I've got another slide with my email address. Just I'll have you pull out your phones and just email me, and I will give you copies of all these slides. So anyway, there's too many taxes. That's why, you know, for Dave, 10 minutes, $23,000 in reduced taxes. You know, I'm happy. That makes me happy. So I guess and the next thing we get into, if you guys are either in Legal Shield or thinking about it, there comes a point where maybe you're thinking, well, do I need an entity? You know, do I need a business entity? And there's two reasons for a business entity. There's legal and there's tax. And so I'm not here to talk about the legal reasons. There's definitely a legal reason to have one. You know, to limit your liability. But when it comes to taxes, there's really only one entity for our purposes that's going to save you any money in tax or that could save you money. Most of the times, whether you're an LLC or you're a sole proprietor, it doesn't save you any money. And for our purposes today, it's best if we understand that there's two types of taxes that we pay. When you file your Form 1040, everyone thinks of it as income tax, which is what it is, income tax return. But you're really paying income tax, and you're also paying Social Security tax. So if we remember that, it'll be easier to understand going forward. You pay two kinds of taxes. So I'm an employee at Vivint, and they withhold my, you know, there's the employer portion of FICA, FUTA, you know, the taxes, and then there's my portion that is withheld. And so I'm paying Social Security tax on my wage, and then I'm going to pay income tax also on my wage, right? There's the two types. You know, Dave is not an employee of someone else's corporation. So how does he pay self-employment? Well, he pays it on his tax return, right? You don't get out of it. So here are kind of the general ones. Sole proprietor, that's the easiest entity. It is no entity. You file it on a Schedule C on your tax return. You put together your numbers. It's not a bad way to go. I kind of have a general rule. If you're not making, like, if you're getting up to where you're making like $50,000, then I'd say let's talk about it and maybe you could benefit from an entity. But if you're making less than that, don't worry about it. You know, just go, you're a new rep, just go knock it out of the park. Go make some money. Just get out there. Don't worry about it. Just the important thing is to make money, keep, and then keep records of your expenses, right? There's LLCs, which is a limited liability company. They don't save you any money in tax. The only entity is an S corporation, and the reason why is because, and just so you know, an LLC and an S corporation, they are not taxable entities. Like, they do not pay tax. All the income flows through to you, and then it goes on to your personal tax return, and then you pay tax. And so An S corporation has a rule that you have to pay yourself, if you're the owner, you need to pay yourself a wage. And the term is reasonable wage. And so the IRS, you know, that's kind of like, you know, what is a reasonable wage? You know, I had someone say, "Oh, well, it's how long a piece of string is." You know, well, how long is a piece of string? You know, how long do you want it to be, right? There's no definable, you know, criteria, and so that gets difficult. So, assuming someone makes $100,000, you know, the IRS would say, "Well, we think all of it should be your wage." Why? Because you're going to pay self-employment tax on all of it, and you're going to pay income tax, right? They're going to get more money that way. But if you can justify yourself in paying maybe 50% of it, maybe $50,000 as a salary to yourself, and then the other $50,000 of net income comes to you free of self-employment tax. And that's why S corporations are so powerful, is because if you can get to a point where you can justify a lower salary, you know, and for Dave here, if I'm, you know, representing him in an IRS audit, I'd say, "Okay, Mr. Agent, you know, they're going to say, well, why can you justify Dave's salary at X and it's not the whole thing?" And I'm going to say, "Well, he doesn't work, you know, doesn't work 5 days a week on the job. You know, he's got reduced hours. He's got people doing work for him. He's got computers. He's got an app that's, you know, got the computer programs and everything's automated. So there's a lot of money that's been put into development of IT. And so therefore, I can justify a lower wage." And so there's ways to do it. But it can save you money. So here's an example. So let's say you make $150,000. And then this is a Schedule C. So this is just no entity. There's an LLC. That's a partnership. Here's an S-Corp and a C-Corp. And so if you make $150,000, you're going to pay about $36,000 in federal tax and in Social Security tax, self-employment tax. Now, if you're an LLC, you'll see there's no tax savings. Now, a lot of people play games and they make their wife a 99% owner of the LLC and call her a passive partner, and she's not really actively engaged, and therefore the income's not subject to self-employment tax. There's all these games that used to work, but they don't work anymore. But with the S Corp, by paying them a wage of $60,000 in this situation, which is 40% of the total number, you're saving $6,500. So you've done nothing. I mean, the numbers are the same. But just by having an S Corp, running it through there, paying yourself a reasonable wage, you've just saved $6,500. So that's the power of it. So the new tax law change that happened last year, I won't spend a lot of time on this. The tax rates for corporations got reduced. The standard deduction got, like, increased amazingly. It's $24,000 for married filing joint. Before it was, you know, like 12 or 10. And so this has been a game changer, because now all of a sudden I've got a lot of people that, you know, I'm doing their taxes and normally they would have itemized. And now it's like, well, yeah, you've paid your mortgage interest and you've paid your taxes and you've got your charitable contributions. And guess what? You're still, like, you're still better off to go standard deduction. So it's a big number. Some tax planning we can do around that, but that's huge. So people that are like renting apartments, you know, it's all of a sudden it doesn't matter that they don't have the mortgage interest. It's saving them a lot of tax money. Personal exemptions have been eliminated. Child tax credits have doubled to $2,000. Mortgage interest has been limited. Charitable contributions, they've got a limitation of. If you do the math, it still doesn't save your money. So. Yep, $2,000 doesn't cover it, does it?
So define these credits phase out for higher income taxpayers. What is that?
Yeah, so let's say someone makes $75,000, they've got one child. They're going to get $2,000 tax credit. So, you know, the tax return calculates the tax. You know, if you owe $1,000, you get the $2,000 credit. You get a $1,000 refund. But if you make over, and I don't have the numbers memorized, but if you make over in married filing joint, you're making over like $180,000. then you don't get the full $2,000, and it starts phasing out. And then you might only get like $400, you know, credit. So it phases out. Here's a big one for some people: the miscellaneous itemized deductions. There was a section at the bottom of Schedule A that was called 2% miscellaneous deductions. And so this was if you were like an employee and you had some expenses that were unreimbursed, you could deduct them here. Well, the tax law change did away with it, which really only hurts kind of, you know, the working class. And so it's interesting that, you know, this tax law change was touted to be, we're, you know, saving the working American money. Well, not really. And so to give you an example, I've got a client who's a nurse, moved in from out of state, and she said, hey, you know, I can't deduct all my... they mean I can't deduct all my nurse, you know, doctor's greens and, you know, all my miles and, you know, my cell phone and all these things that aren't, you know, I was able to deduct them last year. And I said, yeah, tax law change has done away with it. And so she's like, well, that sucks. And I said, yeah, but there's a way to get around it. I said, do you have any side income? She's like, no. And I said, well, have you thought about maybe working, you know, doing your nursing job, you know, maybe on the weekends and just being a contractor? Maybe like one weekend a month, get a job at a nursing home or something, and you're working a Saturday or Sunday. You know, it's probably easy to pick up shifts on weekends. You can make some money on the side. They're going to give you a 1099. So now you've got, you know, business income. So now we can take your, you know, your uniforms. We can take your miles. We can take your home office deduction. We're going to take 80% of your internet every month. You know, you're paying $50 a month. Okay, let's take $40 a month of your internet expense. Let's take your cell phone. And let's take the computer that's sitting in the kitchen that you and your kids and everyone's on it. You know, do you use that for business? Well, yeah. Okay, well, you know, let's find a percentage that makes sense, that's, you know, reasonable, and we'll deduct all that. And so really what she's doing now is she makes $5,000 on the side, and she's pretty much able to offset all of that money with personal expenses that she's converted to business expenses. And so, you know, if she were to go take a vacation in St. George or go down to Los Angeles, you know, what would I tell her? I'd say, well, how do you make that deductible? You know, you shouldn't be going anywhere until you figure out if you can make it deductible or not. I mean, that should be, you know, as you go somewhere, how can I deduct this? Is this business? And so, you know, what I told her to do is, hey, if you go down to California, you know, visit a nursing home, you know, and see how they do practices. See if they, you know, what the people are making down there. You know, ask some questions, go in, and make it a business visit. Now, there has to be a business purpose to it. You know, there's rules. But the point is, you know, if you're creative, you can create a lot of deductions that other people are missing.
What is number two, itemized deductions?
Well, itemized deductions are deductions, dollars that you get to deduct from your income. And so on the Form 1040, Schedule A, that calculates your deductions. So if someone makes, for example, $100,000 and they have $20,000 of itemized deductions, you get to deduct the 20 from the 100. So now you're taxed on 80. Now, what's included in that? Medical expenses, taxes up to $10,000, mortgage interest, charitable contributions, you know, those sorts of things. This $10,000 is the state tax deduction that they limited. They capped at $10,000. So, for example, you pay your Utah state income tax. You pay your property taxes, and if that number is over $10,000, you still only get to deduct the $10,000.
So, for example, if let's say your charitable contribution was $20,000, they're only going to let you count 10 of it?
No, you get the full 20. It's just the tax portion. So okay, you get medical expenses, taxes, charitable contributions, mortgage interest, all those things you get to deduct as itemized. And they're capping just the tax piece at $10,000. So one of the things I mentioned, that if you've got standard deduction of $24,000 and your itemized deductions are at 24, really you get no benefit from your mortgage interest and your charitable contributions, right? Because you're getting the standard deduction anyway. And so there's some tax planning, you know, like I do with some of my clients, where it's like, okay, you know, if you're a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, or you make charitable contributions, or you pay tithing, you know, maybe you bunch up your tithing and you pay, you know, you don't pay it in 1 year, or you pay it, you know, you time it, you bunch it up so that you're paying, you know, instead of So that 1 year, your itemized deductions are way lower. Well, you're going to take the standard deduction, right? And then the next year, instead of having $24,000, you pay your tithing. Now you've got maybe $30,000 deduction. You've got a $6,000 extra deduction. It saves you $2,000. It's just timing of payments. Other items you can, Section 529 plans, those are the Utah State education contribution plans. You get, they made a change there that you can now use it for elementary school. They did away with casualty theft losses. The estate tax exclusion amount went up to $11 million, so you can now, if you die, if your estate's under the $11 million, you don't pay any tax. But and that's an interesting tax anyway. You've already paid tax on all that money. You paid income tax on it to earn it. You're paying, and then now they're hitting you again when you die. So again, I mentioned that for C corporations, which I would not recommend for anyone unless we spoke and it met your needs. But C corporations are taxable entities. The money gets trapped in it. The money can't come out unless you double pay tax on it. Anyway, they lowered the tax, rate to 21% from 35%. They created an interesting deduction because of the reduced tax rate here. They didn't want everyone with an S corp or an LLC to like convert over to C corp and start getting the 21% rate. And so they said, well, let's just make it so that if anyone has pass through income, so whether it's an LLC, S corp, for example, let's just say you do Legal Shield and even you're on a Schedule C and you just you make $50,000, you get to you don't pay tax on 20% of that. And so that's a provision in there. That's been useful. Entertainment's no longer deductible, and this one really hurt. A lot of people were like, well, yeah, no one should be able to deduct their golfing, greens fees anyway. Well, there's a lot of legitimate business, courting that happens, and it's done through entertainment. And, it's not just, do some people abuse it? Sure, but, that one hurt. So... No, those are meals. If you have a business meal, it's 50% deductible. They limit 50%. So this is like, let's say you go to a jazz game. You take a client to a new customer to a jazz game, and you pay $200 for yours and his ticket, and then you got to dinner before, and so in that situation, your dinner is 50% deductible. So you spent, $50 on dinner, so you get a $25 deduction. And on the entertainment portion, the tickets, they're non-deductible at all. So you get zero deduction for it. So you're out the money. You did it for your business, but it's you don't get any deduction.
What if the jazz game is not entertainment? What if it's you're running a promotion in your company? Hey, the top producer gets a ticket to the jazz game. So it's a promotion. Not a entertainment deduction. Now, I'm giving this away to the top person. Oh, by the way, I'm taking the other ticket. Sit next to you, but congratulations, you won. So it's a promotion.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, I'd probably say it's a promotion, it's marketing, it could even be considered a gift.
That's exactly what it is.
Right? And so, so I would take it, and just so everyone knows, my personal... aversion to risk from a tax perspective is a little bit higher than maybe your normal CPA. I would never do anything illegal. I don't want to go to jail. There's paid prepare penalties. If I do something wrong, they'll help me for $2,000 penalty on one return. I don't want to do that. But there's a lot of deductions that are in the gray. Just like with, legal, anything legal, why does Legal Shield exist? Well, not everything's black and white. Not everything is, well, I know that you're right, therefore I'm going to pay you, right? There's a lot of interpretation. And same thing with the tax laws. They're all like that too. And so there is some gray, but my point is if you can take a deduction and you've documented it and it's a reasonable expense, I would take it. We have a question.
To our
You can always get a second opinion from the legal shield attorneys. That's, you got unlimited phone consultation. They might be more conservative and say, like he, they may say, I don't know if a home-based business is worth it because it may increase your chance of an audit, like some CPAs will tell you. Well, if your chance of being audited is 1.5%, is that about right? 1.5%, let's say you don't take that deduction for the next 20 years. What did you miss out on in 20 years worth of deductions? Versus, let's say you took it for 20 years and you were getting thousands of dollars a year in tax write-offs for 20 years, and 20 years from now they do audit you and they say, explain the deduction. You say, well, here's what it is. And they say, ah, you don't qualify for that. We're not going to honor it. Okay, that's the worst thing they said is you don't qualify for it. But you still have the other 19 years that you did qualify for it that they didn't question, that they're now too old to go back and look at anyway. So here's the thing. If you legally, by the definition, say, I feel like this fits the definition, I'm going to ask for it. Unless you get audited, guess what? If you ask for it, you're getting it.
I mean, let's so they can only go back 3 years. They can go back three. So in this situation, let's just flush out the jazz ticket. You know, if an IRS agent is going to be in here right now, they're going to say, hey, that's entertainment. It's not deductible. I'm going to say, he didn't go to the game. It's marketing. It's a marketing expense, right? So we're going to go back and forth. And some IRS agents are completely inflexible. You know, that's the nice word, you know. I don't want to use profanity, but I've been through like 4 IRS audits, and like 3 of them, the agents were actually like, okay, you know, we could disallow all of this, but if you give us this, we'll give you those 3 items. They kind of do horse trading, which is the end of the end. I've got a slide that says if you ever get an IRS audit, do not show up to your own audit, you know, because I've had, you know, on my 3 audits, one of them, the guy insisted on being there, and he ended up paying triple. He paid triple because he was there. Because he said the wrong thing, he was combative, and the agent's like, yeah, you're a jerk, I'm just hitting you for everything, we're just going to say, you know, we're disallowing all of this. And if you want to, you know, dispute it, at that point, you got to hire a tax attorney and go to tax court. Well, and I don't want to speak for Legal Shield from a CPA perspective, from taxes. Like, I know that they help with an IRS audit. They're going to go in and they're going to say, okay, you know, you've got your return here. You're being audited, and most audits are mail audits now. They're not like, you know, going into the, you know, agent into the office and bring in, you know, 3 years of receipts. Most of them are, okay, we see that you've got a meal expense, automobile expense. We want to audit those. Will you please send us your support for those 2 items? That's usually how it happens, and then you go back and forth. And so, but most agents are pretty reasonable. I had a client that didn't even, like, he was a contractor up in Park City. He had a boat, and he was deducting like 80% of his boat. And, you know, agent's like, hey, this looks a little fishy, and we're going to disallow that. And I'm like, well, you know, he's a contractor, and he takes out all of his new customers who are, you know, either thinking about building a home or they've just signed on. He takes them out, you know, for a little barbecue. They go out, and they go boating, and it really helps his business. And, you know, he keeps a log. And, you know, he only uses it, you know, 20% personally, you know, with his family. And they're like, oh, that's legitimate. All right. I've had even some agents that, you know, automobiles are a big issue. They go hard on the automobiles because most people don't have logs. In this one instance, you know, the taxpayer didn't have a mileage log, so IRS agent could have completely disallowed everything. But he's like, you know what, it seems reasonable for his line of work that he would have those miles. You know, we've done the quick math, and it's, you know, 20 miles round trip, this many days. It's reasonable. We'll just let it go. So a lot of agents are, you know, they're not jerks. Some are. But, you know, I don't think Legal Shield is going to give a lot of tax advice. Like, if you get into an audit, they'll say, sure, we'll support you in the audit. But, if you called them up every day and said, can I deduct this or that, they'll probably just, I'm assuming they'll say, I mean, that would be a bad practice, right? You need to get with your CPA and you need to figure that out. Yeah.
Nothing having to do with tax. They'll even tell you get a C corp because legally you're safer.
Right.
But that's not what your tax person is going to say. I got audited in 2005. I know how audits work. Yeah, you got audited.
I was 04.
You did 2 days. get audited the same year?
Nope, I've never been audited. I hang out with people that know more than me.
So there's something called a Section 179 expense deduction. What it means is if you purchase property, you can expense all of it. So the way the tax code works is if you buy, for example, let's say you're a trucking company, you buy a semi-truck, right? You need semi-trucks. You know, there's rules as to how fast you can expense those items. And so, you know, generally trucks are like 5 years. Computer, 5 years, right? So you buy a $1,000 computer. The tax code says you can depreciate it, you know, over a five-year period of time, you know. So, you know, you're going to get your, you know, $200 deduction, assuming straight line, but it's not. But and so you get this deduction. Well, they came out and said, we want to stimulate the economy, so we're going to have this election where you can just expense it, right? So you buy a $1,000 computer. Instead of taking $200 of depreciation for 5 years, you can take the whole $1,000 in year one and deduct it, right? And so they increased the limit on that. There's something called bonus depreciation that the Trump tax law change did. Where you get the same thing. You just get to expense 100% of anything that's like less than a 15-year asset. So this is huge. We'll get into that. It can and can't. If you got a truck, anything over 6,000 pounds, you get to fully expense. Anything under is called a luxury vehicle, and there's rules on it. But
I have to go get another
truck.
Wendy's going to love you.
Well, the CPA advises them to do that. So
I needed that. And
another school. So this was actually an article in the New York Times about 3-4 weeks ago. And it says, how FedEx cut its tax bill to zero. And you read through it, and the article basically says, you know, FedEx is, you know, they're committing tax fraud, and, you know, they're slimy, greedy corporate, you know, moguls that are just, you know, raping and pillaging America. And the CEO of FedEx wrote back, but really what they were doing was, you know, what does FedEx have?
Trucks.
And airplanes. Yeah. And so all of a sudden the new tax law came out, and they're like, you can expense. You know, we want to stimulate the economy, so we're no longer going to have you depreciate everything. We're going to let you expense it in year one. So they're like, oh, okay, well, you know, we'll buy, you know, 50,000 new semi-trucks, and we'll buy, you know, 10,000 new, you know, airplanes, make the payment on them, and we get the depreciation. So what happened is, they did that. They purchased all kinds of fixed assets, which they got to offset against their income. And, you know, and last year they didn't have to pay, you know, hardly any tax. So, you know, I just love the New York Times, you know, making them out to be tax cheats. And this guy's like, hey, you know, we supported. And he listed like 42 industries that all their advanced purchases had supported the economy of America and jobs. And, you know, anyway. But this is part of the whole expensing your purchases. Meals are 50% deductible. Please, when you go to the, you know, on the get your receipt for meals and auto, you have to have if there's an increased burden of substantiation, so you have to have proof. So keep your receipt. If it's a business meal, write your initials, the name of the other person you're with, and a quick little 3-word blurb of what you discussed. Right, the business purpose. So my wife and I are CPAs. What was that? Yeah. However you keep track of it. If you're ever audited, you'll have to produce it. So my wife and I go on a date, and, you know, we talk about which tax software we want to get that year, or we talk about, you know, certain new clients that we're getting, or whatever it is, right? I keep the receipt. I put my initials, hers initials, and I say, you know, discuss, you know, Dave Hall, new tax client, whatever. I keep that. Now that's 50% deductible, right? Let's see. Automobiles.
Good apps that I hate keeping all those receipts. They fill up my wallet. I put them in a file cabinet, and at the end of the year, I throw them all in a big folder, and it's like tax receipts for this year. And I hope I never have to go dig them all up because I use my business card. I just put off my QuickBooks, and it itemizes meals and entertainment category. Boom. There. But what about apps where you get the receipt, I can just take a picture, so I write my name, who I'm there, the blurb, take a picture, and throw the sucker away. I mean, but are you guys using it? Jason, what?
No.
Don't want anybody else to know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of scanning apps out there. It really just depends on what you want to spend.
Yeah, and just.
We got
Mile IQ.
Mile IQ. I know a little bit about Mile IQ. I get people all over America reach out to me and say, I just saw you on the Mile IQ commercial.
So with automobiles, there's two ways to get a deduction. You can either do actual expense or you can do your the business miles times the standard mileage rate. And once you have a vehicle and you've chosen the method, you can't flip-flop. You're stuck with it. To do the actual expenses, the second one here, the vehicle needs to be 50% or more business use. So you're supposed to keep track of your miles for, the IRS recommends 3 months. If you can keep track for 3 months, then you can, you can project that over the year. And if you can get to 50%, you can use the actual. So that means that you get to depreciate your car, expense your truck, gas, any repairs, tires, whatever, right? You get to deduct. So if your vehicle is determined to be maybe a 75% business use because you've tracked your miles, you've tracked which was business, which was personal, then you get 75% of the value of your truck, 75% of the oil, and 75% of the gas, right? And so that's one way to do it. The other way is the IRS says, well, to make it more simple, we'll just keep track of your miles, and you will take your business miles times the standard rate. And I think this year it's like 58 cents a mile, which is very generous. And so, unless you have an expensive vehicle, I'd probably say, and you're driving some pretty good miles, I'd probably say you're going to win with the standard mileage rate. Keep track of your miles, you get the rate. let's see. So
that's the gray area.
Well, yeah, it's, for example, you've got someone coming over to your house, your backyard, you're throwing a barbecue, right? You're going to have maybe six people show up. What is that? Are you entertaining? Is it marketing? And again, just like Dave said, it's, as your CPA, there's no way I'm going to tell you not to deduct that.
Well, you know, it's not marketing and it's not training and it's not entertainment. It's actual training.
Yeah, and if you've done something, then all the IRS will say, well, show us your training materials that you use that night.
Oh, okay.
And you pull it out and you're like, this is what it is. This is my agenda. Yep. The meeting was 2 hours.
Cool.
Yep. Yep. So with vehicles, if you take the actual expenses and you want to go that method, the tax law change dramatically increased the amount you can deduct. So let's say you buy a Ford F-350. It's a big truck. It's over 6,000 gross vehicle weight. You can expense the whole thing in year one. But let's say you buy a Corvette. Use Corvette for, $40,000. You cannot expense that. But what you get to do is depreciate it. And so what you do is you get $10,000 the first year. Second year, you get up to $16,000. And then it goes down from there. And so what's interesting is they increase the rate. And so on a $40,000 car, following the old tax law, it would have taken you 19 years to fully deduct that vehicle. And under the new law, you get to deduct it in, four or five years, that $40,000. So, vehicles are now much better deduction than they used to be. 19 years versus 6 years. Let's see. Home office deduction. So this top part, this is what I always get. Oh, it's not worth it. It increases your audit risk. Deduction's nominal. I have a friend who's a CPA. He's graduated with me. He does tax work for Disney. He works out of his home in Salt Lake. That's his office. And he will not take the home office deduction. And I'm like, okay, now you don't even have an office at Disney. This is your office in your home. It's like, yeah, I just don't want the increased audit risk. And I'm like, you're crazy. Bring the agent to your house and show them your office, right? It's legit. So anyway, I hear that all the time. I give you the 7-Eleven example. I was able to save this individual $17,000 in just 2 years just by doing the home office because now he gets his miles deductible. There's ways to deduct it. Usually you cannot. We'll get there right here in just a minute. Home office deduction, there's two ways you can do it. There's an actual, where you take the square footage of your home office over divided by the square footage of your total home, and let's say it comes to 5%. That means you get to deduct 5% of your mortgage interest, 5% of your property taxes, 5% of your utilities get to flow over. It sounds better than it really is, because you probably are going to deduct your mortgage interest anyway on Schedule A. Yeah, you get some 5% of utilities, but what's really good is, let's say, this bottom here. Let's say you needed to redo the concrete on your driveway, and you put a fence up around your yard. Again, you're talking 5%. So, you know, resurfacing your concrete, $15,000, you get 5% of that as a deduction. You know, the fence costs you $10,000, you get 5% of that as a deduction. So it can work out. The simplified method is you take $5 a square foot, 300 square feet is the max IRS allows, so you get a $1,500 deduction. The good thing about the simplified method, obviously, is it's simplified, it's easier. If you go actual, like you've got to like take 5% of your home and create and bifurcate it and create it into an actual like commercial property. Now you're depreciating 5% of your home. So you get a deduction. Well, you go and sell your home 3 years later, and now what you've done is by deducting something, you lower your basis. And so when you sell something, you have a gain that's higher and you pay tax. So really, you're getting a deduction in year 1, 2, 3, and then in year 4 when you sell the asset, you're just giving it all back. So it's just a timing difference. Right? It's no real tax savings. Yeah, and I'd say you're probably the most honest person in America. So, the IRS. You know, like in the old days, they used to say, even if your kid comes in and sits on the chair, you're now violating it. It's no longer a dedicated office. IRS has backed off, and they said, okay, you know, as long as it's your primary use, you know, right? If your kids come in and use the desk to do their homework or something, they're not going to. And plus, I mean, how's the IRS going to know that? So, again, this... Like when, you know, 25 years ago, this was the big scary deduction, right? This was the big red flag. You take this, you're in an audit. And that was the scare. And the IRS loves to scare people. That's how they keep everyone, like my friend, from even deducting legitimate expense. So.
James, when I got audited, they came out and measured my house.
Wow. It's my preference. It's so much easier to just do the simplify method. Now, if you have a large piece of property, like in your home that you're using for your office, and you've got inventory and you're like using your garage, then at that point I'd say no, we probably need to do the actual. But again, I mean, the $1,500 deduction is not what we're going after. The $1,500 deduction establishes your office, so now that when you're traveling, it's no longer commuting miles. You're now actually doing business travel, right? And so my neighbor that I saved him the $18,000, you know, that was, you know, only $1,000 of that, even that, was the home office deduction. The other $17,000 of saved taxes was because of the miles. Yeah, so. Do you have a question? You pay back the depreciation amount, not the, you know, not the 5% of your utilities and all that. That you get. But if you're depreciating 5% of your home, you know, let's just run through the numbers. So let's run through Dave's truck here, and it'll apply to you. Dave buys a $75,000 Ford F-350. It's deductible, right? So let's say he makes $100,000. So all of a sudden, we've just taken his income down from 100 down to 25, right? Next year, Dave sells the truck. He sells the truck for 50. What's his basis? His basis is zero because he deducted the entire value. He paid 175. He deducted 175. His basis is now worth zero. So now the next year, he sells the truck for 50. Now on his tax return, I'm going to put in there, you know, a gain on sale of $50,000. He's going to pay tax on 50. So then, you know, It's like a gateway drug, right? It's like, well, now I got to buy another truck, right? I buy a truck this next year. I sold it. I make a $50,000 gain. I buy another truck for, you know, $75,000. So it nets out to be a $25,000 deduction, right? So if you're going to go actual, like, you know, something like I tell my clients, if you're going to buy a truck, they call me up, hey, should I buy a lease? What should I get? You know, I'm going to make, you know, $300,000 this year. You know, and I don't know what other CPAs tell them, but I'm like, well, how long are you going to keep the vehicle? Because if, you know, you're most CPAs are like, oh, yeah, expense it. Get that full depreciation write-off. Well, yeah, but if you're going to sell it in a year or two, you're going to pay it all back. So
how long do you expense it over? 5 years?
Well, anything over 6,000 pounds like a truck, you expense it all in year one. So you could choose to depreciate it if you want over 5 years. So you could you'd get the, you know, one-fifth of $75,000, right, every year. So the point is, though, I mean, it's, you know, you got to be smart. You know, it's the same thing like with mortgage interest. I got a lot of CPA friends. You know, you ask them, hey, should I pay off my mortgage? Oh, no. Don't pay off your mortgage because you get the tax deduction on the interest. And I'm like, okay, do the math. You know, you're out the interest expense. So you saved, you know, $3 in taxes, but you're out $7 in interest expense, right? So you just got to think through it. So it's, I try to, like I said, I'm a tax strategist, but I try to, like, save you the most money, not just minimize your taxes, and you pay it back the next year. So. Yep, because all you're doing is reducing your basis, right? So you pay, let's say you bought a car for $50,000. Every year, take the $10,000. So you're one, you're at 40,000 basis. Year two, you're at 30, right? You keep deducting it. Now, your vehicle depreciates in value as well, right? So you pay 50 for a vehicle. 5 years later, you're going to sell it for 20. But if you've used it for 5 years, yeah, and you've expensed it, your basis is zero. So now if you sell it for 20, you've got a $20,000 gain. There's something that the IRS tries to scare people. They're going to come in and say, okay, you know, everyone that's got a small business, there's something called hobby loss rules. Is it really a business or really is it a hobby, you know? This came about because the people a long time ago were buying racehorses. It was their hobby, and it was like, yeah, you know, I'm going to buy a $300,000 horse, and, you know, I'm going to fly out to Kentucky, and we'll go race it, and I can, you know, deduct everything. And every year, they just kept losing money. There are a lot of lawsuits over this with the IRS, and they basically came out and said, if you really want to deduct this like a business, you got to run it like a business. And you need to make income in 3 of 5 years. So they take a five-year window and say, okay, you've been in your business for 5. Did you make income in 3? If not, they're saying, really, it doesn't look like it was a business. It was more like a hobby.
Yeah, income or profit?
I mean the same thing. For me, revenue is the dollars you receive minus expenses is income. So, yeah, profit, same thing. And so this is the general rule. However, it doesn't always have to be. If you can prove a profit intent, which means you ran it like a business, you had bookkeeping done, you know, you did your bookkeeping, you kept records, you actively went out and recruited, you know, sales, then you can bypass that. So I'm just bringing it up. If you ever hear it, you know, you don't need to be scared of it. Plus, your risk of audit is about 1.5%, right? So if I had those odds, I'd go to Vegas every day, you know. And yet there's people that are like, oh, I don't want to take this deduction. I'm like, are you serious? It's a real deduction. So here's an example. My neighbor, Uber, he does Uber. And I've kind of rounded the numbers up. But, you know, assuming he makes $150,000, he was taking his auto in his home office, and that was what he was, and I said, hey, let me look at your taxes for you. And he wouldn't, first year. Second year, I said, okay, let me look at your taxes. And so, you know, he paid like $54,000 in tax on that line of business. He had a secondary line that was being combined into it more than just Uber. But, you know, I'm trying to say here, why does a good CPA matter? So this middle column, and the numbers are hard, I can email everyone this, but this is where I went through and I said, okay, you know, from here down are deductions that I created for him. He just didn't realize, right? So we did a home office, we did the home internet, we took like 80%. We did his cell phone purchase plus the monthly cell phone. We did, you know, did a percentage, right? Pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered. Don't be a hog. So, you know, is your phone 100% business use? Of course not, right? And this is where I come with vehicles. I have clients that are like, yeah, my vehicle's 100% business use. I'm like, seriously? Like, you never, like, picked up a dozen eggs at the grocery store. You never picked up your kid coming home from work. You know, the IRS doesn't believe that. And so if you go and be reasonable, the IRS agents will actually leave you alone. I had one client that claimed a 90% business use, and they always asked for mileage logs, and on this one he didn't. And at the end of the audit, I said, hey, how come you never even asked about the auto? And he's like, well, he goes, you had 90%, so I've got to get to 11% a personal before I even get $1 back. He goes, it's not worth my time in the audit. So just the fact that we didn't take 100%, he didn't even get audited. So anyway, the desk, the chair, the computer, told him he took a vacation. I'm like, hey, that should have been your shareholder meeting. We came up with extra miles that he wasn't thinking about. You know, was able to reduce his tax by 11 grand. So, you need to know what you can deduct. So, tax strategy, don't be Sally. Sally is same as last year. And what's sad is the CPA tax industry is set up for failure because we've got deadlines. So we've got April 15th. We've got a really short window of time to get everything done unless we can extend people. You've got 400 clients. And so, you know, people come in, hey, how you doing? It's like, hey, give me your stuff. Get out my door, right? Because I got to get my work done. I haven't seen my family in 3.5 months. So what doesn't happen? What doesn't happen is your CPA calling you after he's prepared the return and said, hey, you owe 22 grand. Let's talk. You know, I pulled up a Google map image of your home. This is what I do. I see a trailer. You know, I see a fifth wheel. You know, do you use that for business? You know, you run a dump truck. Do you have a dump truck business? Do you ever take that on you know, when you go do jobs? Oh, yeah, I do. I take that with my wife. She helps me with the bookkeeping. Sometimes I do some jobs down in Escalante or down in Price, and we take it. And I'm like, well, then it's a business asset. Let's convert it. What percentage did you use? Oh, well, you know, it was about a 40%. Okay, so we took the, you know, value of when he purchased it 4 years ago. We took 40% of it. We depreciated it, right? All kinds of things like that, and we got his tax down. So, you know, if your CPA is not doing it, then you need to demand it, and if they're not giving it to you, you need to change, because, you know, these are real deductions. So here's missed deductions. You know, annual shareholder retreats, auto miles. This is what I found with my clients. Business trips, home office, you know, all the things related to the home office. Campers, motorcycles, ATVs, trailers, right? The trailer to haul it, right? And so we don't deduct that in 2018 because it's no longer deductible, but, you know, he's going to amend his 2017 return, and he's going to throw those in there. Family vacations, right? Obviously, don't do anything that would be illegal, but let's see. I'm going to skip over. There's ways to hire your children. There's ways to hire your spouse. You have to document it. You know, if you're interested, you know, you can ask me. Medical expenses, you can deduct it if you have a MERP, a medical expense reimbursement plan. You've got to have a plan. You can only do this. This only works if you're like a C corp or self-employed. It doesn't work if you're an LLC or an S corp. There's ways to do it. Typically, you don't get to deduct your medical unless you throw it on your Schedule A, your itemized deductions. So it's, you really don't. Most people can't deduct your health insurance premiums. I'll send out everyone all the slides. I don't mean to cut people off taking pictures. Travel vacations, like anytime I go anywhere, I have some Vivint Solar reps as clients, and I'm like, well, okay, you live in LA, but, you know, let's talk about extra miles. Do you ever go to Vegas for vacation? Oh, yeah, we go like twice a year. Okay, do you ever look at the roofs? Oh, yeah, I'm looking at every roof the whole way I'm driving. And I get there, and, you know, I'm checking out saturation rate, acceptance rates of panels on homes and neighborhoods to see if there's neighborhoods that don't have any. And then I'm thinking, oh, maybe I could come up here for a month and knock doors and, you know, and sell. And I'm like, okay, well, did you deduct your trip? No, I just went with my wife. And I'm like, well, yeah, but, you know, you could deduct your miles, right? And maybe if you stay for two nights, maybe you deduct one night, right? Business purpose is you're going to look at a new area. I mean, there's ideas like that. So when you go somewhere, like I said, I mean, this Legal Shield business is amazing because you can talk to anyone, anywhere. I mean, freaking grocery store, you know, right? So, like, if your business miles aren't high and you're doing this, like, you're doing something wrong. Like, you know, it's a soccer game. You know, it's like, hey, you're talking to someone. Hey, oh, yeah, I've got this problem, whatever. My kid got a speeding ticket. Well, guess what? You know, so did we, but we have Legal Shield. What? What's that? I mean, this is a product that you can sell anywhere to anyone. It's not like you're selling solar panels. So, like, you know, again, anytime you go anywhere, you should be thinking about, okay, and even talking to people, you know, hey, if I talk to this one guy, I'm kind of scared, but if I talk to this one guy, I can deduct these miles, right? I mean, all these things, there's ways to get greater deductions. I would. See, and so what the IRS is going to say, well, was it a business purpose? Is it reasonable expenses? Was overnight stay required? And that's where, again, pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered. So what I would do if I were you, for sure I would deduct it. I might deduct 50% of my airfare, and I might take them out for dinner one night, and I'd pick up the bill on my corporate card. And that way you're not deducting all of it. You get audited, you can say, yeah, I went out, talked to them. They had two friends over. We talked to them. You know, I can make money if those three people come. I'm going to make X dollars. It's worth it to me to spend the $400 to get out there. That's my justification. So yeah, I'll go faster. I know we're getting over. If you get an IRS audit, don't show up to your own audit. Get a CPA. Get someone. Get Legal Shield. Right? Please. I've saved one guy $50,000 because he didn't show up. And they assessed them because he had payroll tax liabilities, because they were reclassifying his contractors as employees. It got messy. It was just ugly. And he had overstated his income, understated his income on years that the statute had just closed, and then overstated on open years. And I'm like, hey, this guy's getting screwed. I'm like, what can you do? You know, if we were to have a 5-year statute, he wouldn't owe any of that. And she's like, you know what? Okay, you pay us on the... You know, on the payroll tax side, and we'll just let all this other stuff go. Saved him $50,000 because he didn't show up, and he was like, "I'm not giving in on the payroll." You know. Anyway, you know, get someone to help you out, right? I don't fix my own car. I can't even fix my own plumbing. It's embarrassing. I tried once, and I had pipes everywhere in the kitchen sink and rust. I couldn't get a bolt off. It was a Saturday evening, and I had to pay someone the weekend fee to come, but I couldn't do it, right? So I've learned, you know. Pay people to do things that you can't do yourself. I mean, it makes sense. Never do not file your tax return. If you don't have the money to pay your taxes that year, file your tax return. Just don't pay. There's payment plans. The reason why I'm saying that is because there's like 25% penalties that they stick on every year that you don't pay. So because you didn't file. They're called non-filing penalties. They're huge. The non-payment penalties are like just interest rates, like 3%. So make sure you file your returns. Document everything. Be creative. Again, have boundaries, right? And if you're going to be flagrant, you'll get caught, and you won't be able to support it, and you know that's not a good thing. Told you about my 7-Eleven example. Another guy was out in the price area, came out here, ended up moving by me. In 2016 and 17, he had bought two boats, snowmobiles, and I said, well, how much did you use those? I go, do you deduct them? He's like, no. I go, well, how much did you use them? He goes, I use them 100% for business. Because I take out my kids, but like we take out like insurance agents because they're the ones that give us the home disaster. You know, if someone flooded the basement, the insurance agent calls them. So he would take them, schmooze them, so that he could get all the client work, you know, the work. And he made a lot of money, but he didn't deduct those. Anyway, we included all that in there. We gave it, you know, what we deemed to be a business percentage. We didn't take 100. You know, we said, hey, let's don't take any more than 80. Anyway, got him back $67,000 in refunds. So I mean, it's big money. Door-to-door sales guy, a woman in San Diego. I know she lives in Los Angeles. She'd go up to see her dad in San Francisco twice a year, whose health is failing. And I'm like, well, do you ever deduct those? You ever looking at homes? You looking at saturation rates, panels on rooftops, you name it. And she's like, oh yeah, I did that. Plus, I even met with a rep up there. I was thinking about moving up there. And I'm like, why aren't you deducting those miles? You know. So another 7-Eleven franchise owner. Saved him $18,000 because his prior CPA just messed up. It had to do with the franchise fee. My favorite, personal chef. So here's a lady. She makes like $20,000. She goes in and cooks for like 6 families in Alpine. And she has no expenses because, you know, the people pay her for the food. You know, she's had the same knives for 3 years. And I'm like, and she owed tax. And I felt really bad because there was this nice girl. And I'm like, okay, what can we do? Well, turns out, I'm like, we finally found, after like, you know, digging, we found out that she had some magazines and some internet subscriptions, so that she wasn't deducting that had to do with food. And then also I told her, hey, when you go out to eat your food, you know, like with a friend to a restaurant, I mean, like, are you ever looking at menu items? And she's like, oh, yeah, that's all the time. That's why I go out. I'm like, well, we should be deducting your meals out because that's more like your research. So anyway, saved her $1,200, which to me was rewarding. That was better than the whole $70 million I saved Vivint. So a pilot. across the street. I'm like, dude, let me help you with taxes. He's like, nah, there's nothing you can do. We were in the park, you know, kids were playing, dogs were running around. 3 minutes later, I could probably save him like $1,000 or $2,000. And the reason why is because he's got two rental properties, one in Idaho, one in Utah. He goes down to Newport Beach all the time. He's like, yeah, we keep trying to find a place down there. We think we go down vacation there twice a year. And, you know, if we had a place, we wouldn't have to pay for rental. And we actually went and looked at a place. I'm like, well, then why aren't you deducting that? You know, you have rental property business. Your trip down there and back, your miles, you know, you should be deducting. So usually I can find something. And this is why, you know, this is why having a business like Legal Shield is so amazing. It's like, I beg you, like, whoever, I don't know who here is looking at it to, like, you know, to sign up. And I'm not, you know, I don't even care if you make, you know, $1,000,000 or $100,000. Even if you just make $5,000, I beg you to do it, because your car, your home internet, your computer, your chair, your desk that you sit at, I mean, all of those things you can convert to personal, to business expense. You know, saves you $2,000. You know, $2,000 in your pocket. You know, why? Because you picked up, I don't know. I don't know the numbers, right? I'm a new guy. You pick up 3 guys a month or whatever, and after, you know, 8 months, you've got this and that money coming in. Guess what? You've just now deducted all kinds of personal expenses. You've created a business. And so, just like the nurse, you know, she works 1 weekend a month, but she's saving $2,000 in taxes because now she can deduct her personal expenses. Same thing here with the dump truck. There's a lady that owns a woman that owns a dump truck excavation company. I'm like, that's fascinating. You know, usually you think of some, you know, big guy that doesn't shave. And anyway, she came to me on April 12th. Hey, I owe $38,000. I think, you know, can you help me out? A friend of mine says your tax strategy. We saved her $18,000. And this was all because boat campers and stuff. It's a family business. Every time they go somewhere, like, they're not deducting their trips. And I'm like, well, you ever talk business? Yeah, we talk business every time. Yeah, we go. And so I'm like, okay, well, let's don't deduct all of it. Let's kind of come up with the business percentage use, and then let's deduct it. Whoops. All right, let's see. Here we go. So you need to brainstorm. Your CPA should be doing this work for you. You shouldn't be coming up with all this stuff. It's not your job. Your job is to go make money, and your CPA should be saving you. So, you know, I don't care if you come to me. Find someone that'll help you out. Right? So find someone that'll, you know, be aggressive and at least bring up things that are legitimately deductible for you to help you out. You can amend 3 years. So if you miss deductions, entertainment, maybe you've got, you know, you've been in the business and you've got maybe, you know, a camper or ATVs, or, you know, you take people out, you can amend. You can get money back. Here's my contact information. If you pull out your phones right now and email me, I will email you all these slides, copies of the slides. I do not do payroll, and I don't do Windows. So, no, I have people that do payroll. I found that it doesn't help anyone for me to do payroll. It's more of a commodity. People can do it for $30 an hour, and I'm going to charge you $150 an hour. So it's just, but yeah, I can set you up with some. I have some two contacts that do payroll.
One of the things that I love is documents that you sent over to me for the parties that I throw at my house, renting out my house to myself from my corporation. And I believe it was 14 times a year.
Yeah, there's an idea where there's something called vacation rental. You can rent your home for 14 days or less, and you don't have to pick it up in income. It's a tax loophole. And so if you have an entity, and if you, you know, one of the ideas is you can rent your home from yourself 1 day a month. You're only doing 12 months, so you don't have to pick up an income on your 1040. You can take a business deduction on out of your entity. You've got to have an entity to do it. It doesn't apply to everyone. You also have to literally rent your house from yourself and, like, spend all day doing your strategies, your, you know, your bookkeeping or whatever it is, right? You have an agenda. If you're ever audited, you have to produce the, you know, agenda. But, yeah, I mean, I do my best to, you know, to minimize taxes. So
a lot of you guys have been to, like, different UFC fights at my house or a Super Bowl party or something else like that. I just rent my house. My company rents my house from myself. $1,000, he's got a form that I had to fill out, and I have to write a check to myself, go deposit it, show the paper trail. But if you do that 14 times a year, that's $14,000 that you had to spend in business expenses. Your Halloween party. I hope that your company rents.
So my company pays me a check.
Yeah, you just write a check from one entity to the other and fill out this form. So when you email him, ask for that form. and just create a paper trail. But I mean, anytime I'm going to have people over that I want as future business partners, they're coming over for a barbecue or a fight or a football game or something else like that. It's not a business event. It's a business thing. Yeah, we're going to have some good food and we're going to sit around and watch a fight or something else like that. But we're talking business. And the whole purpose of this is I want to build a friendship with this person so that they'll be in business with me. But I need to lease the property from myself to do this. $14,000 a year.
And even if you don't lease and go through all of that, like we discussed, like there's entertainment, there's also marketing, there's also meeting. You know, I would argue with the IRS. If, you know, let's say you have someone over and you did a barbecue, you know, just hamburgers or whatever. You're still out $150, right? By the time you get the food, bring over four people, whatever. I would say that's really not entertainment. You know, even if you watch the UFC fight after, I'd say yeah, we did the meeting, we ate, we had our meeting, we did our agenda. You know, we did our pitch, and then you know some people stayed around and watched the game. That's how I would phrase it. Right. So it's not like it's an entertainment. It's really your marketing, right? And so, right. And so, I mean, you know, which is true. I mean, I'm sure you weren't talking Legal Shield during the fight, right? So, and that's how I'd argue with an agent. So, we had a question right here. And there's nothing better than getting an IRS audit and getting money back because, boy, you stick it in their face. But you've lost those deductions, and you've never been audited, right?
I
have. See, so there's all those years when you could have deducted those charitable miles, and you didn't. And you've held them as kind of insurance, right? But I would say as your CPA, I'd say, well, deduct them. You know, your chance of getting audited is 1.5%. Deduct them. If you get caught, and even if they reverse something, you're just giving it back. I love you. Yeah, any CPA would love that because I mean, if you get audited, you've got it. You've got a log. Yeah.
Boy, I've got an app for you that just tracks all of that, and you never think.
I don't want the wife tracking me, Dave.
I've got an app. I've got an app, Life 360, and my wife and I, we can tell where each other are. She once went to a primary. Practice for the primary program, and I came home from work early, and we have an HOA, and I was down in the jacuzzi, and I'm like, yeah, the wife and the kid are at the church. Yeah, I might as well go soak for a little bit. And so I get this text, and I'm like, she's like, how's the jacuzzi? And I'm like, how does she know? And I'm like, oh yeah, it's the app. So she looked, and she's like, yeah, you're pinpointed right by the the HOA. And anyway, we had a question one more. Yeah, it basically becomes a rental property, right? So let's say you spent $300 for the house. You know, the basement's half the house. I would say, okay, $150 is your rental property. You can, you can depreciate that over 27 and a half years is the depreciation life for rental. You get to deduct any direct expense related to that, right? If you have to redo the carpet, you have to redo the water heater, all those are expenses you get to deduct. If you rent a room, you still get, you're asking for a home office deduction? Yeah, you still get to do it. And that's where I would say I would take the simplified method. I'd say, hey, you know, like I had one guy, he's like, gosh, because all I have is like my bedroom and like this one little room. It's like, 80 square feet. And so I'm like, well, still, let's carve out a piece of your bedroom, because he had a desk in there. And I said, let's just take half your bedroom and say it's your office. Take the $5 times the square foot. We did that. Obviously, your deduction is not going to be as big as you had at home, but still. But again, The point isn't to get the home office deduction. The point is now you've created that as your workplace. Now when you drive somewhere and you're going to, you know, you're going to go see a client or whatever, that's now a business mile deduction, right? And now we can take, you know, 80% of your internet or 60% of your internet, whatever. Right, at that point we can just start getting expenses. So. Okay, thank you.
Awesome. Give me a hand.
But again, all right.
If you guys just send me an email, you know, I will give you copies of the slides. If you have questions, tax questions, I don't mind, you know, I don't mind answering questions. So,
was that great information or what?
Before you leave,
James, come on back up here.
Come on back up here. We really, really appreciate it. And hopefully you guys got some little pearls of wisdom in there that you go, are you kidding me? Or you're going to change the way you do things in the future, and I hope to see a lot of new trucks in the parking lot this next month.
I can buy my husband
a truck. Yes!
Okay.
If he uses it in the business.
Oh. Or you use it. Of course you use it. And who's going to pull that new, who's the guy who knew that, pull that side-by-side?
That's right.
I need to take clients out riding. All right, so a little token of gratitude for him coming up here and hanging out with us.
Nice.
Thank you very much.
All right, that is super cool. How do we? I mean, saving money—that's like the best topic. And paying your taxes and filing your taxes—that's huge. A lot of things I didn't ever know. So I haven't filed in 72 years. Me and Boyd. All right. Well, this goes till 6, but we're going to hurry it along so we can hopefully get you out early. This is some of the exciting stuff. I wanted to make sure James was given enough time so we didn't finish our recognition. I think recognition is super important. We've had a lot of level advancements in the company. Hopefully you're still in the room and you haven't left and you were power taking notes here, but we want to make sure that we recognize people that have advanced in the company. So, as we all know, people start at the associate level. Do we have any brand new associates today or within the last a week or two, or at least from the last Super Saturday? Brand new associates today or within the last month since the last Super Saturday? Please stand up so we can recognize you. That is awesome. Welcome. Seriously, that's phenomenal. You may be standing up again here. So as you know, when we go from associate, we're brand new in the company, and then we advance and we hopefully get that bonus, we go to senior associate. Any brand new senior associates from the last Super Saturday, so we're last month, please stand and be recognized. Stand up. Sometimes it takes a while to get to appreciate recognition. It's like, oh, that's me, and you're down. It's like, no, you need to own that, right? So what's the next level in the company? We go from senior associate to manager, and you feel like, hey, I've got a little team. I'm moving in the right direction. Do we have any brand new managers since the last Super Saturday? Brand new managers, please stand up. There you go. Please give it up. I love it. Next level, of course, is senior manager. Any brand new senior managers from the last month? Went from manager to senior manager. How about all existing senior managers? Let's have them rise so we can give them a round of applause. If you are a senior manager, please stand up all the way in the back, the Boyds. Thank you so much. And then the next level, of course, is the highest level that's permanent in our company, and that's director. Any brand new directors from the last Super Saturday? How about all directors, if you would please stand up on your feet and get recognized. All directors. There we go. Who is supposed to stand? I'll get him to stand. Gary Rogers is supposed to stand. Come on now. Some people in the company, they move so fast they don't even know what position they're at. I love it. So we're at the director level. And then, of course, the senior director and the executive director are both monthly qualifying positions, as you know. Do we have any brand new senior directors from the last month or executive directors? So how about if anyone has ever hit senior director or executive director, please rise to be recognized here. Senior director, executive director, currently or have ever hit. There you go. Now, it is pretty cool that we go from executive director and we can go to bronze, silver, gold, and then to platinum. Okay. So many years ago, I hit the bronze in the first 6 months of my business, and then it took years literally to hit it again because I got refocused in real estate. I think George has hit bronze before, but both George and I hit bronze executive director this last month. So give it up. Did you hit gold this last month? Gold executive director right here. Silver executive director right here. It's all about moving forward, taking what you learned from last month and applying it to what you need to know the next one. So we want to continue to recognize great accomplishments and efforts, and we love doing that today. Did we miss anybody needing to be recognized? Something? No? We're good? Okay. I didn't want to miss anybody. I just love recognizing people. Now, some of these slides we've already done, so don't worry about the things that I'm passing. It's not any offense to the slides. Who is going to Dallas? Now, I'm going to show you a video. So, here's just a couple of things on Dallas. So, Dallas is in April. We have two conventions a year. When was the last one? A couple of months ago, and where was it? Now, we were looking at the numbers, Dave and I, about the people who were in Salt Lake, who live in Utah and Salt Lake County, and we think that we didn't get enough people living in the state of Utah to our Salt Lake City convention. We bet, and my guess is it's going to happen because of the growth and the bonuses of the company, is that we bet that we'll have more people in Dallas than we had in Salt Lake. In fact, I want to make sure that everybody is there. So there's one thing that we want you to do. Now, committing to yourself is saying, I'm going to Dallas. So let's hear that again. Who's going to Dallas in April for the convention? That was almost everybody in the room. Now, if I were to ask each and every one that went, woo, do you have your ticket yet? Is it all the same people who just said, yes, I'm going to Dallas? Or have you not fully committed and purchased your ticket yet? So we're going to give you an opportunity. We want to make sure that we highlight not only you going to Dallas, but that you and your team are going to Dallas. So that we have, I wish I had an easel, because we're going to have some people sign it here. This is for you to commit, as well as your new team in the next several months to commit to seeing that you're going, because it's that valuable for you. The information, if you've ever been to a convention, you know. But if you haven't yet, it's everybody that's the best of the best in the company, including outside speakers. And this next one is Eric Thomas, who's going to be there. Phenomenal person. But we've heard from John C. Maxwell. Who was it, the last one? Robin Arzon from Peloton. Bob Berg. Grant Cardone a couple of years ago, phenomenal, 10X. He's still drinking from the same water bottle that he got at that convention. Love it. That's a fact. You learn so much. You become such a better person. You come back with a vigor of trying to do the business more and protecting more. And we need that inoculation because we get no's during the day, during the week, during the month. That's what our... quite frankly, our weekly meetings and our Super Saturdays are for. But we can only do that so much because we're just in a small area. But when you see 5,000 and 10,000 people all with the same mindset, learning the same thing, I have heard more stories from more people that said, my business was here. I'm not doing very much, but I went to a convention. I came out, and 3 months, 4 months, 6 months later, I hit the level I want, executive director. I quit my job. I was making 50 or 100,000. This is a life-changing thing for you. And I want to make sure you know that the effort to put in is not very much. Tickets right now are $129 or something like that. We still have some leaders that bought bundles that you could probably get discounted tickets, and they are $99, $89 or $99. make sure you find one of those people. Don't just go register on through the corporate site and pay more money. We want to make sure we use the ones that we got discounted. So we are going to have people that have committed, which means you bought a ticket. Dave, you mind coming up and being the inaugurational signer, if that's a word? We're going to make you sign your name. Not really a signature, but just print your name. We want you to commit, and we want you and your team and new associates that come in. We're going to try to have this at every briefing, every fast start, and definitely the next couple Super Saturdays. Now, as you grow in the next few months till April, we're also going to have you maybe put a number of the associates that you will be going, that have committed to go as well. So let's say Dave has, whoa, that's a big number, if you can see it. Let's say he has 10 people going, and he knows it already. He's sold 10 tickets. He's got 10 down. But instead, he put 100. And that's probably realistic. 100 associates on the Dave and Wendy Hall team are going to be committed to going. We want to make sure that you, with our help, get people committed to go. Now, the video I'm going to show you is a phenomenal video. It's about 2.5 minutes.
How do we become better? We don't become better because we've hit a rank. You see, it's not about what you achieve here. It's who you become. And when you become greater, you actually attract greater. This is our time, Legal Shield, to become the best that we've ever been. Why Dallas is essential. That's why Dallas, in my opinion, should be mandatory if you're ready to take your business to the highest level possible. I'll see you in Dallas.
I don't know how many of y'all got asthma here today, but if you ever had an asthma attack before, the only thing you're trying to do is get some air. You don't care what's on TV. You don't care about nobody calling you. You don't care about a party. The only thing you
if
care
you have
about
purchased your ticket
to
already,
breathe,
come on
to
up, grab a pen,
that's
right
it.
Under Dave's
and when you
off.
Get to the point,
if
you've
already
you
purchased
succeed,
your ticket,
as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful.
Come on,
you want to lead,
you purchase your ticket.
Then you
come
need
on
to
up
lead
and
the change. And it begins with you.
Down.
I dare you to lead. I challenge you to raise up.
There we go. I'm glad there's a line. I want there to be a line. The more people go in, the more people are committing to their business. Now, if you haven't made that commitment yet, you've raised your hand and says, I'm going, but I haven't bought the ticket yet. It's a little universal law that I've recognized over the years. You need to actually do the work to get there. I want you to commit to doing it. The first time you need to say it to yourself, but there is a commitment level of buying the ticket. That doesn't mean airfare. That doesn't mean sharing a hotel room with somebody. It means committing to get the Dallas convention ticket, which in the industry of personal development, educational learning, this is the least expensive ticket you'll ever spend on the information. It is thousands and thousands of dollars to go to Tony Robbins or to go to a Grant Cardone seminar. We pay the big fees. As the company, we pay the big fees for these top people. I don't know what Eric Thomas is making, but he's making a lot more than the $99 or $129 that we're going to spend to go. At least. You can keep it up. You can go right over here. Awesome. Love it. As your team grows, I want you to come and change that number. If it's just you and you're going to add one or two people and you know they're going, make sure you put that number down as it changes. I'd love it to see people cross out the 3 and put it to 5 as you know, okay? Beautiful. Has anybody seen him on some YouTube videos?
Oh, yeah.
What I love about him is his laugh, but I also love his determined way that he tells you to your face, even if it's just audio, that you really need to make a difference and a change. He's a no-excuse guy right here. If you've heard him, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Motivator, educator, and pastor. He's phenomenal. Just going to love it. I can't wait. So take a picture of this slide, but again, talk to the people that you're you're associated with, your associates, your sponsors, their downline, your upline, because you can get these tickets right here from Legal Shield for $129, I think, right now for a limited time, and that will go up again as well. But leaders in the room have pre-purchased bundles of tickets. Dave, you probably got a couple bundles. I know I got a bundle of 20. We have four or five tickets left, and those are at discounted prices. So make sure you can get registered through the bundles until those things expire. Then you're going to have to send you and your new people to this site. Okay? Fair enough?
If you need a ticket, check with your upline exec first.
Always.
If your upline exec doesn't have any, get a hold of me. Instead of paying the $129, I got 50 tickets at $99 a piece. So I got $5,000 for the tickets. And if we get 50 people in Utah at Dallas, I'll throw a party for the state, and I'll pay for the catering, the food, everything. But I need 50 people to show up there. 50. So if you get a ticket, don't pay full price. You don't have to. But when they're done, they're done.
So do we, is that 16? Is that 16 of the 50 already?
If we got 16 up there, then I guarantee there's a lot more that will be.
Got a lot more, okay? 16 of the room of 50 we know are 100% committed, because you already have a ticket. So we appreciate you. We celebrate you to do that. Let's see here. Yeah, it is $129. All right. Couple of things. We always want to make sure we recognize that we have so many features that we can share the business professionally with people. Oh, come on. Just getting a little love. Thank you, Doug. Let's hear it for Doug and Jason in the back doing the sound, by the way. Any volunteers that help at the front desk, Mr. Randall Kottner, Cordell Crabtree, Andrea, Brooke, Cassie, Mike Bertot, thank you so much. It's amazing when you show up early, because I showed up early today, and all these people were here before me setting it up for all of us. And after you leave, they'll be tearing it all down, and they do that all the time, and they don't get paid for that. So we need to celebrate and recognize that the people at the front, which is our first line of defense for our associates, our guests, we should be nice to them, right? But the people in the back that are silent, but they also make sure that we're not silent, phenomenal. They do a phenomenal job. And they record these events and put them on the website so that if you missed it, you can hear it again, which is what I just learned the other day. Yeah. And you guys have backlogs of previous recordings. Really cool. Anyways. All right. Fast Start class, I'm going to go through these, is the next February 5th. It's a Wednesday night from 6 to 9:30. You, as an associate, will want to be there. Retake Fast Start as many times as you can. And then make sure you have your brand new people there. These are the fastest slides on how to register for that class. It is free for a brand new associate in their first 45 days. So from $15 down to nothing. Stay connected, we know that. Now I'm going to go through these really quickly. Ladies of Justice, this is something the company put out, and I would love to see more Ladies of Justice and actually have somebody in the state volunteer to possibly start doing some group meetings, associations in this field. It is a phenomenal thing when you look at network marketing as a whole of how many successful women are in this business. And so they created the Ladies of Justice, so you can actually have your own stamp on that. Your title's a little bit different, but they actually have corporate events throughout the country that you guys can plug into as well. We're looking for leaders that would love to step up. I cannot step up as a Ladies of Justice person. You understand that, right?
It would be expensive.
It would be. They've got a Facebook page on it. We want to make sure that you're plugging into that. It's some valuable information.
Espanol. James Christensen, this would be good for you and all the people you speak Spanish to. We actually have Legal Shield Espanol. We want to make sure we connect. So if you have people that only speak Spanish, make sure they're on these events. These are nationwide. Get a pick. Everybody good? And then lastly, young pros. It used to be called millennials. Young pros because it's kind of a bigger, wide range of folks. Get out of the way. You don't want me in the picture. I understand. Young pros, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. I mean, some phenomenal individuals lead this. Just want to make sure you guys plug in. Young people, millennials especially, hear what we say differently, so it's good that they're listening it to the type of person that they connect with. Does that make sense? Y'all need to get faster earphones.
Isn't this on the calendar, though?
Yeah. Sure. Oh, Lisa, you got it? It's on the calendar. The last couple things we'll talk about are the weekly events. We need weekly events increased in participation. Why is that? It's for you.
Yep.
It's for you when you do bring a guest. Now, if you bring a guest, you want all of us to be there, happy, friendly, professional. You don't want us to be missing that night. When you finally get your guest that your neighbor has been, that you've been sharing it with them, and they finally said yes to you, and this has been weeks or months, you got them to come out to the briefing, and guess what? I'm not there. Randall's not there. Mr. Dave Hall's not there. George, you didn't show up that night either. It seriously might be just a pathetic event that you finally got your guest to. So now let's flip this around. Wouldn't it be nice if you were all there when I brought a guest? Mr. Dave Hall brings a guest. So we got to play team a little bit. We want you to plug in more. One night a week, 2 hours that night. 7 to 8 is the open house, the briefing, and 8 to 9 is the training. And usually it's the training that we all need to hear. Some of it's mundane. Mastering the mundane is our key in our business. But it's things that I listen to. I was writing notes down from the other day that Dave was doing the training, and I was like, maybe I've written this down before, but I'm hearing it differently today in my stage of my journey, and I'm like, I got to do this. Something he said resonated with me when I left. So you always pick up something. So make sure you're taking notes and you're doing that. Yeah, go ahead.
It was really cool this week at the training, right near the end of the training, the top recruiter in the entire company, Robbins, texted me and said, can I do a three-way phone call right now? I'm looking at my phone. This guy's killing it, recruiting. Like, he was recognized in Orlando. He's the number one recruiter in the entire company. Does more three-ways than anybody. Well, I'm not going to tell my top guy, no, you can't. But I think, I'm like, we'll be done here in just a few minutes. He'll probably be 5-10 minutes, so I say yes. I text back yes. Like 10 seconds later, my phone rings. And they were right in the middle of training, and I just said, could we pause the training right now? I've got a live, hot recruit calling in for a three-way call right now. Can we just do this and let everybody listen to it? So we just paused the training, put it on speakerphone, let everybody in the room listen how the number one recruiter in the company edifies me, but brings on his guests to do the three-way phone call, and it was awesome. And for people to go, well, geez, I don't know how to do a three-way phone call. What if you heard a lot more of those? What if you're around people that are recruiting people left and right, and you heard what they said? Could you pick up on that and go, I could have said that if I knew what to say? You come to the events to learn how to do it so that you can make more money. If you want 2020 to be your year to bust out, then just make the commitment. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to learn. I'm going to be a sponge, and I'm going to go get rich.
Love it. Thank you. And that was a phenomenal training, listening to Mr. Dave Hall do the three-way call as the expert. And I didn't hear one thing besides the introduction from Mr. Brett Robbins. So he's doing it right. He introduced his guest, and that guest was excited to hear from Mr. Hall. He probably would have been here today, but he lives 3.5 hours away, and I think he works on Saturday, so he couldn't make it happen. So weekly event, always at the Megaplex, West Valley Fair Megaplex, and then we have weekly luncheons and dinner events. Check your calendar. Always see your calendar. We have one in Sandy, a Friday one in Midvale, and then an evening dinner in Ogden. And these are professional events that you should be able to be okay with sending your guests to. Lastly, we have our provider law firm. Mark your calendar, please. It has been requested that we have advance notice. We have advance notice. It's February 12th at the law firm. You your members, your guests. 5 to 6 p.m. No, we did. We changed it to the 5th. First Wednesday of every month. Well, we did, because this was here.
You were in Orlando.
That's true. Tentatively.
Do we have the room book?
Tentatively.
No.
Tentatively, the Fast Start training is on the 5th. Could you write that down?
We need to see if there's stuff
available. You got it. All right. Sure. You bet. I love to go back. Legal stuff. I don't know. Are they doing a workshop or they're just mix and mingle and talk? There won't be a specific topic at that one. It's a mix and mingle. They'll go over a little bit of how to, making sure that the new members know that we have actual attorneys. And then we'll start to do maybe a will workshop. We talked about those things at our meeting last week. You bet. Yes?
Yes.
Sure. That was a question, but only one person wants to know?
Yes.
Do you agree, the people that have been here for a while, do you agree that we have some of the top trainers and guests and leaders in all of Legal Shield come in and pour into our marketplace? Phenomenal. That doesn't happen by accident. It happens by relationship and, quite frankly, a much bigger bank account than any of us have. These Super Saturdays often do not get paid for by the people in the room. They get paid for by Mr. Hall, and he's hoping that the weekly and the events that we put on accumulate enough, but it rarely does. If anyone has put on events in this company or anywhere else, you know that this is not a money-making opportunity. The money-making opportunity is building new associates and relationships and having a place for guests to come. I say that because when I took over and I already got the latitude to make some changes, is I want to make sure that Mr. Dave Hall is not going negative by putting on the events. Does it make sense to you that he should go negative?
No.
So we want to make sure we're covering expenses. And there's a few things that, quite frankly, maybe we'll look at changing and tweaking to make sure that happens, okay? But we've got a guest that's coming in that he poured into us last year. And we have people standing in line to come to hang out with the folks in Utah, the leadership, and just seeing the sights and doing what we do for them when they come in. No offense to Oregon, but I went to do a Super Saturday in Oregon, and I flew in, and I did the Super Saturday, and I flew out the next day, and I didn't see a darn thing. There was no big dinner. There was nothing. And again, no offense to Oregon. Hopefully you're not recording this. Every Super Saturday that I've been in town, I've been able to hang out with some of the people and see them. And the events that we put on, from barbecues in the park to going skiing or going quadding, we treat these people with or without you so that they want to come back. And they do want to come back. People are on a waiting list to say, Dave, do you have February open? I want to come back during February. I say that because I just don't know if you know how difficult it is to try to get a leader in the company in certain areas. And we have people standing in line because of the way we treat them, which is a phenomenal thing for here. And wonderful that Dave Hall has actually opened up his checkbook. And he doesn't really look at some of those balances, which is why I'm here. I'm like his auditor. Yeah. So without further ado, let's see if we've got him on the next slide here. There we go. Mr. Chip Humphreys, February 8th. We are going to start it at 2 o'clock again, which means the doors open at 1:45, which means registration is at 1:30. Now, if you were here, he's a phenomenal gentleman. He finally retired from his career. He was running two businesses, meaning his W-2 job as a principal in a high school with, I think, 2,500 kids for years, and he exceeded his $150,000 ring, I think.
Part-time.
I think it was 150, though, right?
Yeah.
Part-time while he was the principal of a school. And if you know any leadership in a school, especially a principal, teachers as well, but they don't have a whole lot of extra time. And he built that business, built his Legal Shield business in the time, and he finally retired as a principal and now is doing Legal Shield full time. Yes, sir?
And go to YouTube and watch him on ABC's Wild World
Sports. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, just caution, he's wearing a small Speedo in the video. Fair enough. All right, just a simple thing that we've made a little bit of a change. Here's pricing for this event, today only. Want to buy one ticket because you know you're coming back? Buy that today, $20. Anything after today is a $25 individual ticket. Again, we don't make money on this. We want you to fill the room. We don't want to try to fill our checkbooks with your money. That's not what it's about. It's filling the room. Two for 30, we're going to give you a discount today. So two tickets for 30 is $15 a piece. That second ticket is for a future associate of yours. You're buying it saying, I'm not coming here alone next month. I'm coming with a new associate on my team. Now, if you brought a guest today, which a few of you did, this $5 for 60 option is available for you. We found, and I didn't take very long to find, that the 5 for 60 was being used for... Okay, you buy the 5 for 60, and it'll be me, you, 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 and you. All current associates that have been around for Legal Shield for a long time. That's a discount, but who is it hurting? Dave. So I didn't ask permission really on this one. I said, this is what I'd like to do. I'd like to remove the 5 for 60 because I think it's unfair for you because I know who's buying the 5 for 60, and it's not because you want to grow a big team. It's because you want to pool your money together and get a discount. I'm not here to scold you. I'm here to improve Dave's ability to put more people here in Salt Lake and in Utah. And this is how we're going to help do it. So if you brought a guest, which is what we do in Legal Shield, we increase our business and our associations if we have guests in the room. If we don't, great. You need to make sure you have a guest at the next event. So for the 5 for 60, anybody who brought a guest, you'll see the folks out. Is it going to be out on the table, Andrea?
Yeah, we know
who you are. I love it. No exceptions. And they know to say, no, we know who you are. Otherwise, go see Ryan because he's going to tell you no too. We want to make sure that, again, the income is not being generated, but the money that it costs to fly in Chip Humphrey from Florida, put him up 3 nights in a hotel. He's going skiing for 2 days because that's what he requested. And he's going to be treated like a king while he's here is not cheap. In fact, the Super Saturday, if you look around, won't pay what he's going to pay to have Chip come out. Won't pay the airfare, let alone the food and the expenses of the what we're going to do for them, okay? Is that fair? So we apologize for taking money out of your pocket, and we're going to do a better job to make sure you're covering the expenses on our behalf, okay, as associates. So anything after today, $25 each for you and an individual associate, all right? Is that fair? Excellent. All right, that's me, but we're not doing that. I was going to do some really cool things. This 5-minute sound video, it's not a visual thing, hopefully I get a chance to share it at another event because I listen to it all the time. And one of the first things it talks about is drawing a line in the sand to make a change for you in your life. And it resonates with me because I don't think I do enough. Now that my wife's in the room, you can ask her, I don't do enough towards my business. I'm trying harder to plug in better. And I don't do enough. And it's videos like this and sound bites like this, motivational things that I listen to each day to try to keep on track. Again, we're out of time. I'm not going to share it with you because, James, you did a phenomenal job. And I'd rather have you save money on taxes than do this. So we'll do this next time if we can, all right? Lastly, and I'll just have him come up to close. We have, again, I've given him lots of... accolades because he deserves them. I'm already the regional director, so I can kiss his butt or not. It doesn't really matter. But in Florida, they brought the top builders in the company up on stage, and they started naming these people. And sure enough, Dave and Wendy Hall were called up there. Now, these people right here, These were the business builders. Now, this is a low estimate. Over 10,000 will be paid, some up to 50. It's more like 10,000 is probably the minimum bonus, up to over 100,000 for the Wynn family. The Wynn family has been in under a year. Brian Carruthers, 2 million. I mean, he should be there, making 2 million plus. Dave and Wendy Hall, 200,000 plus income earners. They definitely want the $1.5 million platinum run bonus. Right here, Mr. Aaron Browning, who did his first Super Saturday for us last month. And he hit the $100,000 the day after he did his Super Saturday here, which was in his 12th month. I think now he's in his 13th month. But he's going to get a check for $10,000 or $20,000 or $30,000 because he's building a team nationwide. This list represents people that are not just been around for 20 years. Brand new people. The top guy, Mr. Aaron Browning. And I don't know the other stories, but my guess is that we have other new people in there too. That can be you on that list. Brand new or seasoned veteran. You have to believe it, and then you have to go out and work. So what I thought I would do just to close out our event, and now you only have 5 minutes, Dave, 3 minutes. Just learn a little bit on what his future vision is, because you're not going to stop him. He will achieve his goals. But I think we can be in the wake of his moving forward, and we can all reap the benefit of that. He's now our MVP of Utah, Colorado, Nevada. Any more states? $200,000 plus income earner, millionaire club member, and top five builder of all of Legal Shield, and future $1.5 million bonus earner. Please welcome Mr. Dave Hall.
I'm going to make this real quick. Guys, I've never been more excited about this business than what I am right now. And it's not just because of $1.5 million on the table. There are some upcoming promotions that are going to blow your freaking mind. I was able to go out to Ada, Oklahoma and sit in with the other MVPs of the company. And we specifically, they had about 20 of us there. And they specifically want to know what will motivate you guys, your teams, to go out and do more. We got to break up in groups and mastermind. And you guys, they have allocated millions and millions of dollars this year to you guys. Yeah, there's a few people that are going for $1.5 million, but there's millions of dollars for you guys to get out there and build. And about four of the ten, so almost half the people up there, were not in the business a year ago. Mr. Wynn, his bonus is over $100,000. So not only did he join and go out and make a six-figure income his first year in the business, the one nightly deposit when that drops in his bank account on the 20th is going to be another six-figure drop that night. He's going to wake up the next morning with another six figures in his bank account. Now, if he did this from a standing still position where he wasn't even in the company a year ago. For some of us that have been here a few months, we've learned a little bit. We've got a little bit of momentum. We've got a little bit of knowledge and experience under our belt. Why can't we be the people that go out there and say, why not me? Why not 2020 be your year to make it happen? When one promotion ends, here's what I can tell you. There will be another promotion that will start immediately the next day. So if you go, oh, but that promotion doesn't apply to me. It only applies to the, every time one ends, the next day, another promotion will start. And they're constantly, we're going to be moving the target. This one might be specifically for executive directors, but this one might be for brand new associates. This one might be for senior associates, managers. There will always be bonus money on the table. And even if it's not a promotion specifically targeted at you, and you go out there and you find someone and the bonus doesn't apply to you that day. What if that someone that you find is Marty Wynn? Keep in mind, somebody said to Marty Wynn, here, check this out. Somebody said, is it okay if I text you a video? And they texted him. The person that texted Marty Wynn the video in the last 12 months has made hundreds of thousands of dollars for a text that went to someone that didn't know if they wanted to be in the business or not. There's somebody out there you guys know right now that hates their job. They hate the commute. They hate the stress. They hate realizing that they're really just trading time for money. And they're disposable. If their boss can find somebody that will do their job for cheaper, they are disposable. There's somebody out there that realizes they're one more complaint to the management department away from being fired, let go. There's somebody out there that just goes, I'm so stressed out. My spouse is so stressed out. I never see my kids. I hate this rat wheel that I'm just running on constantly. And they go, I'm looking for something different. And all you got to do is text it to them. All you got to do is be the person that plants that seed. And next thing you know, if you would have shared this with me 20 years ago, you did not have to be a salesperson. I was working a day job and then delivering pizzas at night, driving a salvage title, Geo Metro, living in the basement of somebody else's real estate. And if there was 20 bucks left over at the end of the month, it was a darn good month. And I hated my life. I hated the stress. And somebody showed it to me and I said, we're in. You would have been making money off of that exposure for the last 20 years. You'd make millions of dollars for being the one person. And we're afraid to go out there and plant a seed. And yet there's people like me that say, I hate my job. I hate the stress. I'm looking for something different. You know people out there that would love this if they sat here today and saw it. If you don't share it with them, somebody else is. And it's a sick, sick feeling to show up at this event and see your brother-in-law sitting on the other side of the room with a stranger they met 3 days earlier and signed up on their team. That's a sick feeling. And I get people all the time that say, somebody just signed up someone that's been on my list for 6 months. I'm so pissed. I'm like, well, why have they been on your list for 6 months? I was trying to get the guts up to go expose them. It's like, you tried to get the courage to send a text for the last 6 months? Like, shame on you. We're not asking you to go fight some fire-breathing dragon. Text them. You looking to make some extra money? They say, yeah. I say, I got something I'm excited about. Let me show it to you. Boom. If they like what they saw, do a three-way phone call with us. We'll do the work. You make the money. It's not that hard. I love what James did. James just sent me a text. Here's a guy that owns a towing company. He's trying to get out of a partnership with his business. Can you talk to him? Boom. Yes. I talked to him. He bought the membership. James got paid. Was that complicated?
But it was cheaper for him. The point is, he paid $25.
Yeah.
And he got legal help. And so this isn't magic juice that I have to pay $300 a month and then I don't feel better in a month. This is a real product that, like, you're saving people money.
And you feel good. You feel good about helping people. I feel good when someone's in. I told you the HOA story. I mean, I got this guy that's being jacked around by his HOA, and he was so mad last night that we were talking late at night that he couldn't call the lawyer right then and there. He's like, he can't wait till Monday morning to pick up the phone and call the law firm about this. And he's like, thank you so much, Dave. Like, he couldn't thank me enough about this. But if that guy goes out there and builds a massive team, and I'm going to help him, you guys, I benefit. You benefit. We benefit from helping people. Like, what an awesome, awesome opportunity. And then there will be that day and that time, 6 months, a year from now, where all of a sudden you have a solid team. It's growing, and Legal Shield comes in and says, oh, by the way, you're only a few people away from hitting platinum. We're going to give you $1.5 million if you can pull this off. And then your world just changes. You're like, oh, the house is paid off. The cabin's paid off. Like, everything gets paid off with this. And all of a sudden, work takes on like a whole nother level of excitement. And you guys, we're only scratching the surface of where this can go over the next 5-10 years. I lose sleep thinking about the next 5-10 years. You can set your grandchildren financially free in the next 5-10 years, if you just dig in now. A, block out Thursday nights. Block out there. If you're not on the fast pass, I'm going to strongly encourage you, get your keister on the fast pass. For those of you who don't know what the fast pass is, instead of paying $10 to come to the training, somebody has to rent these rooms and buy the equipment and everything else like that. So we ask a donation of $10 for the associates to come. Well, if you're coming every week, 4 weeks, sometimes there's five, you might be paying $50 to come get mentored by people who are in the millionaires club and six-figure ringers to teach you how to do this business. $50 a month. If you're going to go to the Fast Start training class, there's another $15. Now you're at $65. You're going to come to Super Saturday, there's another $20. You're at $85. Or you just get on the Fast Pass. We give you all the trainings, all the Fast Start training classes, and a Super Saturday ticket, $50. You save $35 a month. And by the way, at the end of the year when you're doing your taxes, it's a whole lot easier to print off one report that just shows it was automated. Here you go, James. Boom, here's my deductions for my trainings. If you just pay at the cash register at the table out there and they give you a paper receipt, you go home and you're like, oh, where am I going to put this? I'll put it somewhere important. Boom. You guys all know those things get lost. Your kids run off with them. They fall behind the desk, everything else like that. Automate it. Here's the other reason why you should be on the Fast Pass. When you've prepaid for it, you show up. Trust me, if you buy movie tickets today for an important movie on Tuesday night, Tuesday night shows up, guess what? It's non-negotiable. You already paid for the movie. You're going. You buy airline tickets, you always show up at the airport. I'm just telling you. For those of you that are going, I'm trying to figure out why the business isn't working. Here's what's working. Because you decide on the night of the event if you're in Legal Shield or not. That's why. If you say, I've already paid for the training, there's a millionaire member training tonight, why would you not show up to that? Automate it. So you're going, well, how do I get on that? Go to UtahLegalShield.com. And there's a button there that says buy the Fast Pass. Boom. Click on that. And now 2020 is automated. You just show up. They have a list at the table of all the people who are on the Fast Pass. You don't wait in line to get your little handwritten receipt. You just show up. They're like, you're a member of the Fast Pass. Boom. Go on in. You're a member of the Fast Pass. Go on in. And here's the last reason. In 2020, we are going to make exclusive events for Fast Pass members only. So when the leader comes in early, comes in on a Thursday, we're like, oh, by the way, we have some exclusive time. We're all going to go do X with him. Fast Pass members only are invited. You will have one-on-one mentoring time with leaders that nobody else gets an invitation to. I'm going to strongly encourage you to make your business automated. Put it on auto ship so you just don't have to even think about it. You just block out Thursday nights. I'm there. Take your business serious. There's no reason why every single person in this room shouldn't retire wealthy with what's going to happen over the next few years. But it's your choice. If you treat it like a hobby, it'll pay like a hobby. Treat it like a business, it'll pay like a business. We'll see you all next month.